Richard Norton Taylor's just got back from the speech. What did you make of it, Richard?
Well, it was quite clear what Sir John Soares was trying to do in the first ever public speech, and indeed a live television broadcast of a head of Britain's MI6. Initially, it was a defence of secrecy, trying to explain why his organisation has to be work in secret. MI6 is a secret front line of national security, as I put it. And having tried to explain explaining in a nutshell what the organisation does, he thinks it's sort of misinterpreted. He says, for example, secrecy is not a dirty word. We need secrecy to protect our agents abroad, because our agents abroad, who we recruit, foreigners, are helping us, MI6, defend British national security. But there are two other issues he directed of particular interest to The Guardian, actually, which he confronted. One was the question of torture, of course, and allegations that MI6 and indeed MI5 officers too have at least colluded in torture by other people, Pakistan intelligence agencies, for example, on torturing terror suspects, but also the CIA torturing in Guantanamo Bay. Now, Sir John Soares says what the government said before, echoed the government, we do not condone torture. It is illegal and it serves no purpose anyway, pragmatically. But, of course, we have difficult problems. We have this dilemma. What happens if we gather information which can save people's lives? And if we don't use it, because it might have come from torture, people will be killed. Innocent people will be killed. So there's a dilemma he faces. Now, what he does now, MI6 is accountable. He says, we go to the Foreign Secretary, who approves our actions or not, i.e. our accepting this information or this giving of intelligence to another country's security service. So he's basically saying we're accountable because the Foreign Secretary of the day, William Hague, always approves our dodgy, if you like, or our difficult decisions. And the second thing was that he, in advance of secrecy, he made it quite clear that in future no information from MI6 or information that MI6 has been given by other countries, like the CIA, should ever, ever, ever appear in court again. Now, this, he was addressing the problem of the Binyam Hamid case, which has been running, a case which The Guardian has been running about for some years now. Binyam Hamid was an Ethiopian-born British resident who was nicked by the CIA Americans and Pakistanis. And then he was sent to render to Guantanamo Bay. Now, he, in evidence of court, it was quite clear that he, that MI5 and MI6 knew that the CIA had, were mistreating him, to say the least. And that came out in court because there were two very robust judges in the British High Court made it quite clear that they didn't like what was being done in the name of the British people, if you like, without getting too pompous about it. But some of the information came from the CIA. Now, a source today says we cannot have any of this foreign intelligence, including CIA intelligence, be revealed in any kind of court case at all. The government's coming out with a green paper soon next year, actually, on all this question of how much can be disclosed. They're going to tighten it up. And that was his message, Soares' message. You know, defensive secrecy, and we must have even more secrecy, if you like. No leakages from any court case or anything else.
Well, as you say, that was a bit of a swipe at The Guardian. What's The Guardian's response?
Well, The Guardian's response, which I will be in a leader tomorrow, we'll say, I think there's a kind of you can be, there are gaps in the argument, if let's put it that way, in MI6's argument, which may be a difficult, question. And as you said, there are dilemmas and there are difficult questions. They're not just abstract questions, as he put it, for philosophy courses or searching editorials. They're real dilemmas. Well, there is a real dilemma. If you get information which you think may have come as a result of torture, then and if you don't act on it, innocent people will be killed. What do you do? He doesn't quite answer that question, does he? He says, I mean, they're trying to say, he and his officials, that there are other ways of maybe getting round that. Now, we'll pose this question. You've got to come clean, really, on this. You've got to accept sometimes you've got to have dirty hands, if you like, if you do accept that, or you say you never do. They're not saying either one thing or the other. Now, the other general reason why, it was Soares' idea, Sir John Soares' idea to give this public speech. His predecessor, Sir John Scarlett, certainly wouldn't have done. He's a different kind of animal than a kind of career spook, if you like, or career spy or intelligence officer. He worked with Tony Blair in number 10, Downing Street as foreign policy advisor. He was a British special envoy in Baghdad after the invasion of Iraq in 2003. He was a UN ambassador, British ambassador in New York. And so he knows a bit more about the open world, if you like, open diplomatic world as well, and the real world rather than just a spooky world.
So did it work as a PR exercise, this?
Well, it might have worked. To the punters outside, it might work. To the people who saw it live, and it'd be repeated on, well, I think Sky was there. Sky got the exclusive rights, I think. And of course, we'll be using it, won't we, in The Guardian, and video and so on, and it'll be there. It'll be in the can, too. And he preferred that way of doing it because people like us can't interfere. We can't just write a thing in the past if it's just a speech, you know, where in a closed room where we can just quote him, but we can always put our epithets and our asides and our scepticism or whatever it is. Here, he says, people can hear what I say and take it or leave it. The punter out there going over the heads of us journalists, in a sense.
He didn't allow questions, though, to be televised.
But he didn't allow questions to be televised, you're right. And in fact, we can't even say what he said. And it didn't happen. The question and answer session did not happen, if you like. So, not that you said anything there. I couldn't possibly comment, even if he did. But also, what is interesting is the background of the security intelligence agencies getting much more influence in government now. You've got, on the one hand, MI5, the domestic security service. Understandably, I suppose, on the grounds of, you know, terror threats and so on. Olympics coming up, you know. That MI5 and the Home Office are trying to, you know, get domestic information or keep domestic data or apply for domestic data, which are on the internet, that we ordinary citizens use, and that's still a running issue. Control orders of what you do with people who can't be tried or because you release sort of secret information of British citizens, which are happening now. That's a big review on which the government is now grappling with, the coalition government, what they call a review of counter-terrorism legislation. That's within Britain. Now, MI6, Sources Outfit, Secret Intelligence Service, operates abroad. And it is getting much more influence, working much more closely with the British military, for example, in places like Afghanistan, and GCHQ with their eavesdropping, with their electronic eavesdropping system. So the different security intelligence agencies are working much more closely than they ever have done in the past, actually, I think. That gives them also more influence in government, this new National Security Council, which David Cameron set up. The heads of MI6, MI5, GCHQ are always there, giving, okay, they're not policymaking, as they insist, they're not policymakers, but they are, they've got influence, they're working together, and I think they're respected, because it's easy for, without being too cynical about it now, it's going to be a brave minister, and even prime minister, to ignore, if you like, the threats that come in.
He mentioned Machiavelli in his speech. Do you think in a sort of Machiavellian way he'll be pleased with how it went down?
I think he will be. I mean, he's quite chuffed. He quite likes speaking in public. He quite likes sort of breaking the taboo, really, a spook never, the British head spook never talks in public. He quite likes it. He's sort of, he's not a great speaker, actually, I have to say, but he's got some kind of presence, and he's got, above all, confidence to actually stand up on the podium and say, this is my secret outfit, we're doing vital work for British national security, and we must remain secret, and indeed even be more secret.
Okay, Richard, you better write it up. Thanks a lot.